All right, so like always, we're going to begin with our two questions on the top of our study guide there. So those are groups. So last week we focused on the fact that good questions can be used as a tool to cause relationships to go below the surface. How can good questions do this practically? Do you see the benefit in composing good questions to others? And what is your biggest hindrance in developing relationships at church that go below the surface? So discuss those two questions. We'll come back together and get started for the day. All right, let's come back together, please. I know we have quite the disparity. People have really close and people have really far. I don't know, like, I should stand in the middle. I'll stay here because that would get me out of my comfort zone, right? So I hope that first question helped us kind of focus on what we talked about last week. So we talked about that our relationships often don't go below the surface, and it's because we don't ask below the surface things. And so we focused a lot about that last week, and I hope it could be used as a tool in your conversations going forward with people. Just to be able to kind of peel back below the surface to really kind of start getting at the heart behind the person. And I think that probably led in a little bit to your second question, the what is your biggest hindrance in developing relationships at church that go below the surface? So hopefully those two things are kind of primers to think. As a church body, we want to have relationships that matter. We want to have relationships that are centered on the gospel and that are centered upon real relationships where I really know you and you really know me. And that's going to take time. So I imagine a lot of your answers were because it takes time to do that. It takes time to develop those relationships. It's easy on Sunday morning from the door to the sanctuary to say, "Hi, how are you? Good." And give a greeting, which is good, like we talked about last week. But it's much more to say after the service and say, really, how's it going? How is your marriage going? What are you struggling with at work? So getting questions that get a little bit below the surface that have a little bit more substance, it takes time. I heard some groups, it's kind of costly, right? If I open up a deep question to you, you could open up a deep question to me. And maybe I don't want you to do that. And that's going to be kind of the expectation. If I go there, they're going to go there back to me, probably. And so it's understanding that we need each other. So this class has been largely focused on we need the church. We need the members of our local body to come alongside of us. And we need it not just in passing manner of recognition, but we need it in a deep heart level. And so that's what we've been focused on. So if you're joining us for the first time this week, we've been talking about God has called the members of his body to do the work of the ministry. He has called us to be the ones that help build each other up to the image of Christ. We are called to be tools of change in each other's lives. We're supposed to have these redemptive relationships that are focused upon the gospel. And that grates at us a little bit, right? Because we are not called to be independent human beings. We're not called to be an island. We're called to be dependent ultimately on God, but on each other as a church. That's why we can't have this Christian who says, "I'm a Christian, but I have no need of the church." That doesn't make any sense according to the Word. There's nowhere in the Word that would make any sense. And so we are fully dependent upon each other. That's why God has so gifted the body to work together to build each other up. And so to do this, we need to have these relationships that matter. So the last few weeks, we've been talking about Paul David Tripp's love, know, speak, do model of personal ministry. So for 2 weeks, we spent time talking about to really help someone change, to really come alongside someone, you have to actually love them. So we can't see them as a checklist. We can't see them as a goal. We can't see, oh, here they are on the line. They're at A. I want to get them to L. And you can't just look at them as a project. So yeah, there could be a goal for this person's life, but it has to be focused in love. It has to be rooted in meeting them where they are at the moment. So we use that illustration of somebody who said they're going to go through a divorce. your immediate help to them is not all the passages in the Bible about why divorce is wrong. So, yes, will you get there? You will. But your immediate help there is to meet them in their moment of suffering and actually listen. They know divorce is wrong if they've been around the church. You're going to come back to it, but you're going to meet them in their suffering. You're going to meet them in that moment, minister to them there, and keep building into them. And so we actually have to love them. And that's that identifying with suffering. So we are all sufferers, maybe on a sliding scale, but our suffering is intense to us. So we have different things that we go through, different ways people sin against us. And that is a real suffering in my life. Sure, is it not maybe to the point of losing a child? Yeah, so there's a sliding scale of this, but we're all sufferers. And so it's identifying that God has been faithful in my life to get me through this. Look at God. Look how glorious God is. Look how gracious He is. Look how He helped me through this. God can help you through that. And so it's identifying and saying, I am a sufferer too. I'm here to actually listen. I'm not here to give you, listen for 5 seconds and give you 10 minutes of response of what my best plan for your life is now. So I need to listen. I need to love you through that. And last week we talked about knowing. So last week was our first week on knowing. So how do we really get to know people then? To know where people need to change and grow, you need to know them. So a few weeks ago I said, if you're not close enough to me to be able to sin against me and actually hurt me, we're not really close. So do we have these relationships where I can let you in and you can let me in enough that you could hurt me? And we are sinners still, so we will hurt each other. Is that going on? Are we getting to know people on that level? And again, we already talked about it a little bit, but we focused on that idea of we don't do it because of all those reasons, but ultimately, we don't do it because our conversations are on surface level. And one great tool for that is asking good questions. So we talked about when people are telling you their story, so they might come alongside, they might come up to you and say, I am struggling with lust. I am struggling with contentment at work. They might come and verbatim say that to you. Or they might come complaining about something. And you know they're complaining about something is kind of a blinking signal saying, there's something that's going wrong in the heart somewhere. And how can I get to know that better? So you have the blatant, I need help with this, and you have the blatant, you can see they need help with this. And so how do you get to know them? You get to know them by asking good questions. And when they're telling your story, when they tell you what's going on, you always ask people to define their terms. So that illustration last week, someone saying, I had a huge fight with my spouse last night. What do they mean by huge? It's probably different than what you meant by huge. And you really need to understand, what does it actually mean? So don't be afraid to, what do you mean by that? How was it huge? What actually happened? And that's the next point there. Always ask people to clarify with concrete examples. So how? Not only what, but how. And then you want to get to the why, don't we? So we've talked much about change only happens when heart changes first. So I can make external change. It'll last for a week or two. But only lasting change is going to go through the pathway of the heart. So when we are going through those situations, you got in an argument with your wife. Well, why? What were you wanting? What were you desiring? What didn't she give you that you wanted? Or what did she give you that you didn't want? Right? So it's asking good questions, kind of pulling it out of them. Because naturally, we want to just kind of be turned in on ourselves. We don't want you to really know what's going on. I want to give you kind of a general statement and kind of go from there. And if the general statement, what's going to happen on your end? You're just going to assume a lot. You're going to assume a lot by what I mean by my words, what I mean by huge, what I mean by fight, what I mean by a lot of things. And so when you think about it, we need to ask those good questions. So these are questions that help you see yourself more accurately, that help the other person see themselves more accurately. Questions that will help them see how Scripture explains their life, how there's true help and hope in the gospel of Christ because Scripture understands them. A few weeks ago, we talked about Jesus is not only the perfect God-man who came to die for sins, but he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. He understands your suffering. He understands your temptations. And Scripture, then, His Word, understands you and understands your heart. So just a little bit more review on last week. On those questions, it's always helpful to ask those open-ended questions. Yes and no questions, you're only going to get yes and no. So you're only going to get what you exactly ask for. But if you ask an open-ended question, it's going to be a lot more beneficial. It's going to help you get rid of some of those assumptions. So this week, we're going to keep focusing on discovering where change is needed. So when we really get to know people, and when people are really having these conversations that matter with us, I'm sure many of you, are, if not all of us, have had this, when somebody's just come to you and dumped like their whole life on you, or dumped this whole situation on you, and you're like, whoa, what is actually going on here? It's a story that lasts about 40 minutes, and you're just lost in the midst of it. So people suffer, and we suffer in messy ways. We make many statements when we tell what's going on. We make interpretive statements. We make some objective statements. We make some very subjective statements. But it's kind of a mess when somebody tells you, blah, this is what's going on in my life. And you know what? We want the mess. Because the opposite of the mess is those shallow, superficial relationships that say, everything's fine. And so we're wanting to get the mess. We're wanting to get the blah, here's what's going on in my life. So what are we going to do with that? How are we going to organize that? How are we going to think about that? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Before we get into that, so we're talking about listening well. And we're going to go to a few passages in Scripture that kind of highlight the importance of listening well. So again, these last 2 weeks have been really practical tools. So I'm hoping you're not assuming that, oh, we're not teaching the Bible here. No, we're doing practical tools based off the previous 8 weeks of scriptural principles that we've been focused on. So these are kind of giving legs to a lot of the things we've been talking about. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18. It would help if my Bible was not upside down. Proverbs chapter 18. I'm sure a lot of these verses will be familiar, but I just want so Scripture understands your life. Scripture knows you as man. Chapter 18, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. So when people come to us and they're opening up to us about their life, Scripture says we're a fool if we're not actually trying to understand what's going on. If all we're really caring about is listening for a problem, hearing it, and saying, oh, I think I know what I should tell them to do based on my experience or my friend's experience. And if I'm not even listening and I'm already going to the solution, Scripture says that's foolish because all you're doing is desiring to express your own opinion and not actually to understand the situation. And why is that a big deal? Because Proverbs talks a lot about wisdom. Proverbs talks about a lot about wisdom, and who's wisdom? Jesus Christ is wisdom. So if we're to model our Savior, if we're supposed to be ambassadors of our Savior, being a fool is being opposite of what Christ has called us to do in these relationships. So it's not just your own personal preference of not being a fool. You've called to not be a fool. You're called to image forth Christ. You're called to be a representative ruler for Him. Stay in chapter 18, go to verse 13. If anyone gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. So if we're listening, people are coming to you with problems, and you're all of a sudden you're jumping right into it because you know, or you've been through this, or you've helped somebody else through this, and you're not actually listening, it's your folly and it's your shame. So not actually listening, what's the problem with that? You're not going to get at the heart. So we can look at it from this folly and shame perspective, but if we don't actually listen, we're not going to get at the heart. If all I'm listening is external things, and I'm going to try to help them stop doing these external sins, then all I'm going to do is help them chomp off a branch of a tree, and they're going to go hang out on another sin branch. We're not getting to the heart. Let's go to James chapter 1. Yeah, and Matt said, yeah, and that branch would just go right back because the heart is still has the disease in it. It's a good point. So even if it goes away, it could very well come back easily. That's a good point. James chapter 1. So we've spent a lot of time actually in this class talking in James chapter 1. So we talked about how the root of our desires are... Our desire, our root of what we love, causes what we do. So James says it's your heart, it's your desires, it's your inordinate desires that cause sin in your life, even for good things we talked about. If I love something more than I love Christ, if something so rules my heart that I'll sin to get it, or I'll sin if I don't get it, it's become an idol in my life. And so James just got done talking about that in that first section of chapter 1. We're going to pick up in verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be quick to hear and slow to speak. Scripture knows that we're quick to assume. It knows that we want to express our own opinion. It knows that we struggle with being slow to speak. It knows us. And God in the gospel has equipped us to do it. Paul David Tripp has said, personal ministry is not about always knowing what to say. It's not about fixing everything in sight that is broken. Personal ministry is about connecting people with Christ so that they are able to think as He would have them think, desire what He says is best, and do what He called them to, even if their circumstances never get fixed. It involves exposing hurt, lost, and confused people to God's glory, so that they give up on their pursuit of their own glory and live for His. There's a lot there, wasn't there? It's not about setting out to fix everything, because you know what? You can't fix everything. Ultimately, we talked about this much in this class. I can't fix you, you can't fix me. But what we can do is be instruments or tools of change in each other's lives. We can point them back to the gospel. We can point them back to their only true hope and help in Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be signs that point them away from themselves, away from their inward focus, to God. To help them give up on their pursuit of their own glory and live for His. And they're going to do the same for us. So this is a two-way relationship. You speak truth into my life, I speak truth into yours. So let's get back with where we were going here. So I think hopefully we see that listening matters. Understanding matters. And after we've had this conversation, which somebody has come and just dumped on us and said everything in this situation and given you all their opinions, some of the facts, some of their interpretation of what's going on. You have this big glob of information. How can we be slow to hear? How can we strive for understanding in that situation? And the problem is, again, we want the quick fix. But we need to take the time to listen. So let's work here to making sense on the data. So last week we talked about those questions. But those questions are going to lead to the data, hopefully. So there's a goal to the questions, to know people so that you can offer them help. It's not just to, again, we talked about, it's not just this misery loves company type thing. It's not just I'm asking you questions, I'm sitting here listening, and I'm offering you absolutely no help or no hope in this. So yes, so hear me correctly here. It is important to listen and to listen well and to not be slow, or to be slow to speak and to not interject opinion. But you're called to offer hope in the gospel. It's not misery loves company in that. So these questions then are supposed to be rooted at gathering information that helps me know your heart. This goes back to one of Tripp's principles that he often says, that we don't live simply based upon the facts of our existence. We live based on our interpretation of the facts. So we don't live based on just the facts of our existence, but on the interpretation of them. God created us to be interpreters. So interpreters of his word, but interpreters of our very existence. So we need to try to make sense of even what others are telling us. So this means we must interpret what they're saying from a biblical worldview, from a gospel-saturated perspective. Not from the perspective of, oh, that problem happened, this is what worked for my brother. Or, oh, I had that problem too, here's what I did. So it's not rooted on personal experience, but it's rooted upon the truths of his word. Tripp again has said, biblical personal ministry thrives when good understanding of Scripture leads to an accurate understanding of the person's life. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. So an accurate understanding of the person's life, applying the gospel. Hebrews chapter 4, 11 to 13. Let us therefore to strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So I know we often think of this just kind of in a personal manner. I read the Bible because it exposes the thoughts and intentions of my heart. I want to spend time every day in the Word because it's going to expose my heart. And yes, that is a great application of it, but I also want to submit that, you know, it's a great application for other believers to come alongside to really know each other and to be able to help them apply the Bible in their life. To apply the gospel, to apply what God has called them to do, because it's the word of God that's able to expose that. It's going to expose the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You're not going to be able to ultimately do that. You haven't been called to do it. But the word and the Holy Spirit have been called to do that. So when we come alongside them, it's for the purpose of their thoughts and intentions of their hearts being exposed. So that real change may come. And that's done by bringing Scripture. So if I don't know you, the Scripture I bring may not actually apply to that very given situation. I might think you're struggling with something for a completely different reason you're struggling with it. And I'm talking to you about this, and it's completely over your head, and it's not helpful. I need to understand you. So I need to both understand Scripture well, and I need to understand you well. So let's... On the back of your sheet here, we're not quite there yet, jumping ahead. So we need to organize this information from a biblical worldview. So to be able to offer gospel-saturated, true hope and help to people who cannot just listen, we cannot just listen for a minute and think that we really know them and we can throw Scripture at them and solve the problem. We can't just think it's simply offered or simply solved by saying, I'll pray for you, and then walking on and maybe praying for them. So we really have to take in the information and kind of process it. So this is kind of that slow to speak. I'm really trying to say, what's actually going on here? And you know, this is where it gets tricky, right? Because people don't naturally come up to you, and they don't go, Steve, I'm about to really expose my heart to you right now. So would you listen pretty closely? Get out your notepad and pencil. And I'm going to tell you the last week what's been going on in my heart and what's been the outflow. So are you ready? People aren't going to do that. We're not going to do that naturally. And so we have to be ready to hear in any situation. So these could happen at church. It could happen between here and the door. So sometimes those conversations do happen at church. They could happen at a harvest banquet table. They could happen over lunch. They could happen in a small group. But people are going to expose their hearts to you in big and small ways. Are we going to be ready to process it? We say a lot about ourselves and what we think about ourselves and how we talk to others. We say a lot about what we believe about God and how we talk to others about situations, about people, about suffering. And so we need to kind of be able to categorize this. So the goal, again, is to kind of process this information well, to be able to apply the gospel to it. Where does, after looking at all this information that was dumped on me, where has God called this person to hope? Where can I point them to the hope of Christ specifically? But where has God also called them to change? And so on the back of your sheet, Tripp has supplied kind of four categories of information. So it's helpful to think when someone's telling you their story, they're telling you of a problem. So either they're coming up and saying, hey, I'm having a problem with, or they're just complaining about something, or you can see that they're bothered by something. How do I get this to an understanding? So here's one tool. So it's not saying you have to do this, but Paul Tripp is offering this as one tool to be able to better think through those things. So the first one would be the situation. So what is going on? Describe the person's circumstances. So back to that example from 2 weeks ago, the man that says his wife is leaving him. He hasn't been home at night for the last 3 weeks because he can't stand her. He doesn't want to be around her. He's going out with his buddies instead. He's staying late at work. He's yelling at the kids because of his relationship with his wife. It's his wife's fault. So what's the situation there? So you have to kind of say, what is the situation? I just dumped a lot of things on you, didn't I? What's really going on? Well, we can see that his relationship with his wife is fractured, right? There's problems with his relationship. He has problems with his children. There are problems at work. So there's just some, what is going on? Describe the person's circumstance. And that could be historical, too. So in the situation, they can kind of give you some historical facts. It's just like my mom. I can't believe she's treating me like that. Or this is how my family's always been. Why would we get along? So you see there's some historical information that can be exposed. So what about their upbringing does it reveal? What crisis event is going on? Is there a major event that's influenced my life? My dad left when I was 6. Things that kind of say, you know, this hurt right here has never been really helped. They've never seen the hope of Christ even in that situation. You can kind of see, what are some historical things? What are some significant relationships that have formed their life? What about present things about the situation? So that life context, daily situations and pressures that they're facing. Significant relationships, people who are influential in their life right now. What do you know about their present family? And the presenting problem, how do they describe the problem? So we're kind of saying, okay, so just some broad situational things. What's really going on? What have they said is going on in the situation? And then number two would be the responses. What does the person do in response to the situation? In response to what is going on? So facts about the person's behavior. So in that little illustration I just gave you, well, he's not coming home at night. He's yelling at his kids. He wants out. He's withdrawn. Those are some of the responses to the situation. You're looking for themes and patterns here. So what are the problems that are arising from the entry level situation there? Number three would be the thoughts. What does the person think about what is going on? How is the person interpreting their world? This is just like my family. Why would we get along? I don't deserve this. That person's always been this way. So what interpretive things are driving their situation? And then the motives, right? We're about heart change. So we want to start seeing the underlying motives of the heart. What does the person want out of the situation or in the midst of it? What do you know about the person's desires, goals, treasures, motives, values, and idols? What does the person live for? What's really ruling their heart? And you see, those four categories, if I just listen to that short statement that I just gave you, I have a lot of gaps in there. I have a lot of gaps in those four categories. Because all I've done is I listen to you say those things, and if I hear you say those things, I can start assuming a whole lot of things. So you see how we're kind of getting back to our questions now? If I don't have these kind of things being brought out, I need to bring some questions to bring them out. Because if not, we're not really listening. We're not really understanding the person. We're assuming. And oftentimes we assume incorrectly. And so to really understand what's going on in the person's life, I need to ask good questions. And so if I've listened to them and I'm looking at this kind of grid of saying, what do I know, what don't I know? You know, I have some good questions now that I can come with and say, hey, I have some gaps here. I don't really understand this. Can you help me understand it? What do you mean your family has always fought? What do you mean that they've always been like that? How have they done that? Why do you think that? What are you believing about God right now in this? What are you thinking about yourself? And just kind of filling that out because you're wanting to get a full understanding of what this person's going through. And you know, so we have these four categories, but did you notice emotions isn't in here? I didn't say there wasn't either emotional response. It's because emotions are in all of these things. You're going to have emotions in all of these things. They're going to drive a lot of what this person's coming to you with. This person is, this person is hurting, they're in desperate need of help, and they've come and they've just dumped it on you, maybe with a slight hope that you could help. And there's going to be emotions in all of it. And you know what? Emotions are great tools for us because they're kind of showing what's going on in the heart. I'm mad because I didn't get something. I'm happy because I got what I wanted. What did I want? What's made me happy? What's ruling my heart in that situation? What has the power to give me joy? What have I given that power to? What have I given the power to? If I don't get this, I'm going to sin for it. Or if I get this, I'm going to sin. I don't deserve that. Where is my heart in that? So emotions are going to be a great tool for us. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to read 9 to the end. And I kind of want you to think as we read this to kind of think, I'm called to love people. I'm called to come alongside people. I want to think about people and understand them well. So how are some of these principles that we've talked about today going to kind of shape what I'm going to read in 9 to 21 here? Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think we just have some low-level observations out of this passage this morning. Love one another with brotherly affection. How can we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves? This is one practical tool to do that, to listen well, to sit back and say, I'm hearing this. I really want to love this person. I want to grow in a deeper relationship with this person. What am I not understanding about this person? That's loving them well. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. So if I'm doing this well, I'm rejoicing in the hope that's offered in the gospel. Whatever tribulation I'm going through or you're going through, I'm going to be constant in prayer through it because I know I can't do it and you can't do it. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. If I'm going to really rejoice with you, I'm going to have to really understand what's going on in your life. If I'm going to weep with you, I need to understand what's going on in your life. I need to truly know you. I never want to be wise in my own eyes. I think there's a lot of application from this one passage of Scripture that tells us we need to do personal ministry well. God has called us to do this real redemptive relationships in our lives well for His glory. He wants us to point them to the all-sufficient Creator God who has redeemed them and has promised to complete His work in the end if they're truly a Christian. And so our role in each other's lives is to do that, is to point ourselves away from ourselves and to God. And we can only do that well if we know the people well. So I hope as we kind of process this and we look at it and I look at my own life and we say, where am I missing this? Do I have a relationship where this could take place? If not, what can I do about it? Where has God called you to deeper relationships within the church? Where has God called you to be willing to open up and reveal the ugliness of your heart so that God can use someone else alongside of you to get to know you, to ask you questions that you wouldn't ask of yourself, for you to ask them questions that they wouldn't ask of themselves? So personal ministry, this saints, the work of the saints is building up of the body. So the job of the pastor is to equip us for the work of the ministry. Now it's our prayer that we do it, right? We do it well. We get to know each other. Because I think there's a disconnect. Because we think it's the pastor's job to know everybody in the church. Isn't that right, Kelly? It's your job. That's what we pay you for. Right? So there's that pop cultural kind of assessment that it's his job to know people. But even if it was his job pragmatically to know everyone, he's not going to know everyone on the level that needs to be done. So just this false category of him having to know everybody extremely well and knowing everything about them, well, we've been called to that. We've been called to know people well. You're not going to know everybody in your church well, but you need to know some of them well. And you need to be willing to speak truth into each other's lives, to come alongside each other. So this doesn't start overnight, does it? You don't just flip a switch. You don't have a superficial friendship, and all of a sudden, tomorrow, you're like, expose the idols of your heart now. No, but you work at it. You ask good questions. You think, what do I really not know about this person? do I know if they're struggling in their marriage? Have I ever asked them about that? Have I ever asked them what sin do they struggle with the most? Have I ever asked them about their need for constant possessions that I could see piling up in their life? Have I ever asked them about how what they think about their kids? Are they holding their kids up on a pedestal? Are they seeing motherhood as some kind of idol in their life? Am I seeing providing for my family as some kind of idol for my life? It's asking questions that get to the hard issues. And so I hope that as we've seen the need for this, that we can each grow and measure in this. It's not going to be overnight, but it's something that we need to grow in. So think of that, those four categories: the situation, the responses, the thoughts, and the motives, because we need to get to the motives. Heart change is what lasts. I give you two kind of practice questions there. They're kind of stereotypical, silly questions maybe in your sight, but it's just kind of say, how can I work even those situations through those four categories? So we don't have time to do that in groups this morning, but it's kind of a tool. So how can I put those two situations through those four categories? So that's the first part. Then after organizing them, what are some good questions you could ask of them that would help you get to know them in the situation better before you respond? So I kind of gave two stereotypical situations, and there are gaps in there, right? There are big gaps in there. Where are the gaps? And so kind of practice just looking at that and saying, where's the gaps? Because we want to be equipped to say, when someone's telling me something, where are the gaps? I want to know their heart because I love them. Remember 2 weeks ago? I love them. I want to come alongside them. I want to meet them where they are. But I want to offer them the true hope and help that's only found in Christ. So let's close in prayer this morning. God, I thank you for just the ability to be called to this work that you've gifted us to do. Lord, each one of us, you have designed to be tools of change in each other's lives. God, we look in our lives and we see failure in these situations. We see the ease of living in the superficial. We see the cost of what it costs to get to know people and for people to see our hearts. God, would you convict us by your Spirit and your Word that you have called us to do this thing? Lord, we want you to receive the glory. We want you to be the one that is seen as all glorious, all sufficient, the only hope and help that we could ever have. Lord, give us humble hearts as we do this. Help us love our neighbors with brotherly love. Lord, would you do this work in us, and would you further equip us to build up your body for your glory? Amen.